Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia. Dapatkan lebih banyak lagi cerita bagus di sbs.com.au/indonesia.
Pendengar, tingkat keberhasilan IVF dulunya kurang dari 10%. Namun saat ini sekitar sepertiga wanita akan mempunyai bayi pada siklus IVF pertama mereka. Kini seiring dengan transformasi kecerdasan buatan di dunia, para peneliti berharap hal ini akan membantu lebih meningkatkan hasil bagi orang-orang yang ingin memulai sebuah keluarga. Berikut ini sebuah rangkuman tentang masa depan kesuburan yang disusun oleh Sarah Conte untuk SBS News. A snap by Conker. Setelah mencatat prestasinya di AFL, tujuan berikut dari Rhys Conker dan rekannya Annabelle adalah memulai sebuah keluarga.
I've always wanted to be a father. Absolutely love kids. Have for a really long time. We just tried naturally. We tried for I think 10 to 12 months and then put everything in place. After that, once we realized it wasn't necessarily happening.
Sekitar 1 dari 20 pria memiliki jumlah sperma yang rendah yang menyebabkan infertilitas. 1 dari 100 seperti Rhys menderita azoospermia atau yang dikatakan tidak memiliki jumlah sperma sama sekali.
I think it's kind of shocking news, especially for a male. It's not something you ever really expect. I didn't know anything about male infertility, didn't even really know it existed. I think like a lot of society, I just kind of assumed that most of IVF struggles were female related. There's a lot of guilt attached to it, a lot of anger, this real sense that it's unfair, and they're all valid emotions. And for men, the very easy option is just to bottle it all up and soldier on.
Dr. Fleur Cattrall adalah dokter dari RIS dan direktur medis di Melbourne IVF. Berikut ini komentarnya.
For couples that are faced with infertility, we know that the stress that they feel with the diagnosis of infertility can be as severe as being diagnosed with cancer. And it's a real hidden grief in our community that people don't discuss because often they're embarrassed about it. And so they can't disclose it to family and friends.
Rhys dengan harapan untuk mendapatkan terobosan telah menjalani dua operasi yang disebut mikrotes, di mana sampel jaringan diambil dari testis sehingga spesialis dapat mencari sperma langka. Ini hanyalah salah satu bidang di mana para ahli berharap kecerdasan buatan dapat meningkatkan hasilnya bagi pasien. Stephen Vasilescu adalah CEO dari startup Bioscience Neogenics. Perusahaan ini telah mengerjakan alat AI baru dengan IVF Australia.
What ends up happening there is once we've retrieved the tissue from the testes, we have to find these super rare sperm. It's like finding, you know, one star in a constellation of cells that aren't what you're looking for. So while we're looking for that, that can take 3 to 6 hours to find a single sperm. We've trained this model to identify just sperm in complex, very, very messy tissue samples. And we've done that through training it, providing it with hundreds or thousands and thousands, actually, of images that we've identified as sperm through various staining processes. Sperm aren't meant to be outside the body for very long, so time really is of the essence. So the quicker we can make these processes and find these sperm that are slowly, slowly dying in these dishes, the better we can make outcomes for patients. What we're seeing is a dramatic drop in the time it takes to perform these procedures, and the AI is helping find more sperm than an embryologist without the AI. Hopefully towards the end of this year we can get our clinical trial done, dusted, and then hopefully by next year we can use that trial data for regulatory approval in Australia, and then we can start actually using it on patients.
Ini bukanlah satu-satunya cara AI mengubah teknologi reproduksi. Pada tahun 1990-an, Profesor David Gardner mengembangkan sistem penilaian embrio yang kita gunakan saat ini, dan ia sekarang menjabat sebagai direktur ilmiah di Melbourne IVF. Saat itu, ahli embriologi hanya memeriksa satu gambar saja. Kini, perkembangan embrio difilmkan sebagai selang waktu dengan AI yang digunakan untuk menganalisis ribuan gambar.
So what we do is we grade our embryos using conventional means, and then we use the artificial intelligence to say, what do you think? And then we use it to augment our decision process. I think that's really important. We use it to supplement our decision. We don't turn to AI and say, tell us what to do. We turn to AI and say, can you help us make these decisions? We have a saying, we want to get our pregnant sooner than later, not sooner or later. And with artificial intelligence, it means that we're making the right decision more often over which embryo to transfer first. Reducing time to pregnancy is a great outcome for patients because there's a lot of stress involved once they've had the transfer, waiting for the pregnancy results, waiting by the phone to see if their bloods have come back and they're pregnant. And of course, if we can alleviate that in any way, that's a bonus.
Para ahli juga menyelidiki apakah AI dapat membantu mempersonalisasi pengobatan kesuburan dengan menganalisis gen kita. Profesor Beverly Fallenhoven adalah kepala genokologi dan penelitian di Monash Health dan memimpin penelitian yang dimulai tahun ini.
And what we wanted to look at is if what effect genes may have on how a woman reacts to medication. We know that it probably does, but it had never been looked at before. What we're actually doing is something called whole genomic sequencing. So we're looking at a woman's entire genetic makeup, and the AI part of it is to look at those genes. What we want to do with the use of this trial is to see that if we personalize the dose to that patient, that we get a better outcome or not. The ethical dilemma will be we're looking at someone's genes. What if we find something that is really abnormal, like they've got a risk of cancer, etc.? Then we are bound to tell them that.
Dalam sebuah pernyataan kepada SBS, Komisi Australia untuk Keamanan dan Kualitas dalam Pelayanan Kesehatan mengatakan, mereka memantau perkembangan penggunaan dan dampak teknologi atau AI dalam sistem layanan kesehatan Australia. Sedangkan untuk Rhys dan Annabelle, prosesnya terus berlanjut.
It's been a crazy journey, but we got some good news from my latest microtesi, so we're really hopeful that this goes to plan. I think, especially for males, I think it's just realizing that you're not alone, realizing that it is unfair and there's a lot of, you know, negative emotion and trauma that comes with that. But I really encourage men to really identify how they're feeling and work on it and be really open and honest and vulnerable and try and create really supportive networks. I think the more people you've got in your corner, the easier it makes the journey.
Nah, pendengar, rangkuman ini diproduksi bekerja sama dengan Australian Science Media Center dan didukung oleh Meta Public Interest Journalism Fund yang dikelola oleh Wakeley Foundation. Rangkuman itu disusun oleh Sarah Conte untuk SBS News dan disampaikan oleh Ricky Kusumo.
Anda ingin mendengar cerita-cerita seperti ini? Dengarkan di Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, atau dimanapun Anda mendapatkan podcast Anda.